This morning, I had a totally different message planned, and God kind of changed that. So I was scrambling this morning. So anyway, in leading up to that, it is from the book of Matthew. We've been going through the book of Matthew, but it's not from the readings this week. It actually comes right after our readings that we did last week. And I just, for whatever reason, felt the need or the nudge from God to kind of shift gears. And sometimes you have to do that. It's kind of fear and trepidation when you already have something ready. So, but let me just pray, and then we're going to actually watch a video. All right, so we'll go to the Lord here. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together this morning, and thank you for your word that is it's powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the soul and the spirit, and you're able to get to the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And Lord, we just pray this morning that we would hear what you have to say, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and watch this and listen. That's an interesting song. It's obviously a kind of a prayer of an expression of saying, "Hey God, you know, whatever comes, you know, you be Father to me. Whatever comes, I'm going to trust you. You strengthen me." And you know, sometimes we think about that, you know, when we pray, "Okay God, you know, whatever comes my way, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you." But we don't know what that fill in the blank will be, right? We don't know what the whatever comes will be. And so today, this passage that we're going to look at here in Matthew chapter 14 really talks about facing fear with faith. And any one of us at any time, whether you're going through something right now that's a real test of faith that is causing you to be trembling with fear or uncertainty or that kind of thing, then this is a message for you. And if you're not there now, you'll probably be there sometime, just because we live in a world that's broken. We have relationships with people who are broken. We are broken. This is why Jesus came, to help us with that, to save us from our sins and heal our brokenness. And so this morning, this is what it's about. It's about facing fear with faith. And if you're able to, why don't you go ahead and stand with me? This is our tradition at Darby Creek. If you're able to, you can stand. If not, you can stay seated. And I'm going to read the scripture. We're standing in honor of the Word of God. And so I will read here Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This is the Word of God. Please have a seat. Really, there are basically four things I want to share with you this morning from this passage about facing fear with faith. The first one has to do with verse 22. And in verse 22, of that passage we just read, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake. And so the first observation I want to make here is just that Jesus brought me here. Whatever situation that you are in, whatever trial you are facing, whatever is in, like the song that we just heard from the Wren Collective, whatever comes, whatever is that thing that comes that's a trial and it's difficult, it didn't surprise Jesus. Okay? Jesus is not caught by surprise. He knows this. He is totally aware and sovereign, and thank God that he is sovereign and in control of everything. But it should encourage you the fact that wherever you find yourself, okay, wherever you find yourself, the spouse that you have, okay, the children that you have, or the situation you find yourself in, the job you have, right, Jesus brought you there to that place. Okay, he's in that place, all right? He's in that situation. Now, I want you to realize, and I have mentioned this before, so I'm not going to belabor this point, but there are really two types of storms that we encounter in life, if you call a storm a difficulty or trial. One is a storm of correction, okay? Now, if you've read your Bible and you know the account of Jonah, a storm came up, and, you know, long story ensues here, but they end up throwing him overboard, and he gets swallowed up by a large fish. I call it a whale-a-gram, because he got delivered on the shores there of what would be modern-day Iraq, and because he was running away from God. He was running away from God, and God sent a correcting storm in his life. I mean, literally a storm here, but I want to look at this and just say, you know what, there are storms, there are difficulties in life that is basically God is trying to get our attention because we have departed from his ways, or we're on the wrong track, and we know it, and we know what we're doing is not pleasing to God, and so he's using this, you know, situation like any loving parent. You know, if you're a good parent, you're not going to like rescue your child from every set of consequences. You know, there's going to be pain come into their life because kids make bad choices, right? And so the Lord will use our own poor decisions sometimes to bring us into circumstances that he has even designed in cooperation with his poor choices to correct us and to bring us back to him. And so there are storms of correction. Now, that's not what this is, because these guys were doing exactly what Jesus told them. Okay? Jesus told them, you get in the boat, you go out on the water. They were doing exactly as he asked. And this was what I would call, and others have called, a storm of perfection. God is bringing these circumstances into their life, this storm, literally, for the disciples, moving this boat around by the wind and the waves, right, to get them to grow in their faith. And this storm of perfection is where the disciples find themselves. And so this morning, maybe you are in a storm that's a storm of perfection. You're not at least knowingly doing anything that's not pleasing to God, that's not within God's will, and you're just going along, in fact, doing what he wants you to do. And by the way, you know, don't let anybody tell you that following Jesus, if you're doing God's will, all goes well. Okay, that's just a big fat lie. Okay, totally. Totally. These guys were right in the middle of God's will. They did, I mean, literally got it from Jesus' mouth. You know, okay? Get out on the boat. They were doing exactly what Jesus said, and the difficulties came. The storm came. Jesus brought them to the storm. Okay? And so what I need to think about this in our own lives as we look to follow Christ is we say, you know what? This thing that I'm in right now does not surprise him. In fact, he brought me here. Even through the poor decisions of others. God can work that way, okay? I know that sounds strange. You know, why would God use bad decisions to do that? Well, you know, he does not, I mean, we can't get into this whole discussion today about free will and all this sort of choice, but, you know, he is allowing us to make these decisions, okay, that are real decisions, okay? And even within that, he works within that framework to do what he wants to accomplish. And so this morning, I hope that you'll be encouraged to know that the Lord Jesus brought you to the place you find yourself, brought you to the marriage you're in, brought you the children that you have or don't have, brought you to your singleness where you are. He brought you there for a reason. I think about this verse, Romans 8:28. It's very apropos here, where the Apostle Paul says, he says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." This is a wonderful promise for Christ followers. Wonderful promise for Christ followers. And if you're in the storm of perfection, this is something that you need to lay hold of, okay? Because we may never understand why God is doing or allowing this storm of perfection in your life, other than the fact that we know it's meant to mature us, other than the fact that we know that it's meant to grow our faith. We can know that. But we might not know every little facet of why that's going on, okay? Why that is going on. But we can rest in this promise that God is working everything for our good as believers in Christ, okay? We have to hang our hat on this, all right? Because let's face it, there are some things that we go through and that some of you are even going through right now where you don't understand why God would allow this. You don't understand why he would allow this disease in my life or this bad relationship in my life or this or that or the other. But we have to hang on and trust that God causes everything. All right, that's a fill in the blank for every believer. Everything. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All right, so the first thing we need to realize is that, you know, as we're going through these things, four things that we need to remember in the storms of life. The first one is that Jesus brought me here. Jesus brought me here. Okay? The second thing is that Jesus is praying for me. Jesus is praying for me. Now, where are we getting this? Well, in the passage there in Matthew chapter 14, in verses 23 and 24, it says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. So Jesus is getting away to spend time with God the Father, and he's praying. And he's praying, and I have to think, now again, this is, I know, is a little bit of a kind of a projection onto the text, but I do have some other texts that say that he is praying for us in particular. But I think about this. The very next verse, after it says, so you can picture this. Jesus is praying. That's the picture we have. The very next verse says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Okay, Jesus knows everything that's going on, right? He can read your mail. Okay, he knows your hearts. He doesn't have to be present to know what's going on in our lives physically, right? He knows. He knows what's going on with the weather. We've seen before in the book of Matthew. He controls the seas. He controls the wind. He's in control of nature. Right? He created it. It's interesting. I heard, who was I listening? I don't know. I was listening to someone. I think it was, I don't know. I was YouTubing a lot this week, so I can't tell you who it was. Somebody was saying that Billy Graham was, this is way a long time ago, was sitting in the presence of a lot of scientists, and they were talking about, nuclear capabilities, of nuclear power and all this stuff, and he was silent over all this discussion about the finer points of the physics that was going on, and he didn't really know anything about any of that. But one of the scientists said at one point in the conversation, they said, but one thing we haven't figured out is how all this stuff holds together. Because it doesn't seem possible that all this stuff would actually hold together. It actually seems like it would fly apart if you look at it on the molecular level. But Billy Graham says, now that I know. He's like, I don't have to be a physicist to know this, because the Bible tells me in the New Testament that Jesus is holding it together. Jesus is holding it together. And I just think about this, is that, he's in control of the weather, all right, here. He knows what's going on. He's praying with full knowledge that they're in the middle of a storm. And so I just think about this as we look at passages in the Bible that speak of Jesus praying for us. It says in Romans 8:34, "Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." Or some versions say, interceding for us. Meaning he's praying on behalf of someone else, praying for their help, okay? And so, you wonder what Jesus is doing right now? I can tell you one of the things he's doing right now is he is at the right hand of God the Father, which is the position of power, okay? And he is making intercession for you, okay? In the middle of your storm. He's praying for you. And I've mentioned this before, but I remember that there was this one sister in the faith back on my college campus, and I knew if she was praying for me, it was going to happen. Because she had this connection with God. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. If Terry was praying for me, it was going to happen. This was the way I was thinking. Okay, now that's a little bit simplistic, but I'm saying she was a prayer warrior. And there are some people that you might know who have this great relationship with God that's born in prayer. And I'm thinking, now Terry's nothing. This sister back on campus is nothing compared to Jesus praying, okay? If Jesus is praying, it's going to happen. Whatever he's praying for me, as I'm going through this storm, right? Jesus is praying for me. And I just think that we need to keep that thought in mind. He's for me in this storm. He's not against me. He's for me. In fact, in Luke 22, we see Jesus talking to Simon Peter. And, Simon Peter, who was known for the foot and mouth disease in the New Testament, always sticking his foot in his mouth. He speak first, then think later. This is Peter's M.O. So Simon here, this is Simon Peter. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Now this is coming on the heels before when Peter would eventually deny Jesus three times. Okay? So leading up to the crucifixion, right? Once they get Jesus in custody and they have their mock trials and all this stuff, well, so during that course of that period of that time, then Peter is approached like, hey, he's one of the guys hanging out with Jesus. You should talk to him. Maybe he knows more about that group, And he denies ever knowing the Lord. And so Jesus knows this. Again, he knows what's coming. And he's saying that he's praying for Peter that even though he knows he's going to go through this failure, he knows he's going to screw up, that his faith would not fail, that he wouldn't chuck it, he wouldn't throw in the towel, but that he would hang in there. He's like, Peter, I'm praying for you. So Jesus is praying that whatever you're going through, this storm of perfection, that you would not throw in the towel. He's praying that you would not, your faith would not fail you, okay? And so that just encourages me to know that, Jesus himself is in my corner. know, he's there. He's wanting me. Yeah, and he with full knowledge that I'm not going to pass every test that comes my way. Okay, I mean, that's why Jesus died on the cross, was for our sins, for our failures, for our moral failures, for our failures in doing what God wants us to do. I mean, he knows this. Even knowing all of that, he's like, Peter, I'm for you. I'm praying for you. You know, I'm praying for you. So let that be encouragement to us. But the Lord is praying for us. So he's not only praying for us, okay, and he's not only brought us to this place, that it hasn't, the situation that we're in has not caught us by surprise, that we're facing, that is causing us fear and anxiety, but also just the fact that actually Jesus is present with me. He is actually with me, present with me. Okay, so where are we getting this from? If you take a look in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 14, it says, I think if I had a large print Bible, I could actually see it. This is not good. Okay, there it is. Okay, but Jesus spoke in verse 27, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. I am here. He's like, I'm with you guys. It's me. Don't be afraid. You know, of course, they you know, it's interesting though that you know, they've had situations like this before. They just weren't looking for him. Okay? You know how some, like if I was looking for someone to come, you know, or have experienced something before, you kind of look for things like that. You kind of have an awareness so that when this is happening and they don't really know who it is, they might be thinking, well, maybe that's Jesus. Or they weren't expecting him in this storm. But he was right there. He was right there. His presence with them was right there. And Jesus is with us. He's saying, no, don't be afraid. I'm here. Well, how is he here with us now? He's here with us now through the Holy Spirit. Every believer has within them the Holy Spirit, what we call the third person of the Trinity, right? There's three persons, one God, right? This is difficult for any of us to understand, but the Scriptures, when we put it together, it is that way, okay? And so we have the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. Right, and Jesus, you know, even told his disciples, that's why I'm going away. That's why, you know, I'm going to the cross, I'm resurrecting, and I'm going to go away. We're not going to set up the kingdom now here on earth. That's for a later time. And he's saying, I have to go away so that I can send another helper. Right? And what he meant by saying another helper was another one like him, but one that could be in every believer, the Holy Spirit, inside every believer. So we have the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. And so we need to hang on to this truth. I mean, so sometimes, you know, if you've been a believer for a while and you've read your Bible or you've been through Bible studies and you know this fact, like you know the fact, you know, like the theology that, oh yeah, the Bible tells me I received the Holy Spirit when I first believed and he's never leaving me. It's a done deal. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. But we forget. I forget. I just confess. I forget, you know, that I have the living God through the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And so I don't have to be afraid because he's like with me and whatever's going on. There's a verse in Isaiah, actually shared this with someone else this week, and it came up as I was getting ready for this. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, it says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, you know, I believe that God is not done with Israel yet. He has some other things he's doing with them, but I do believe that, you know, in one sense we are, anyone who puts their faith in Christ as Savior, we're part of his called out chosen people, okay? We know from the book of Romans that Israel, God's chosen people, right? But then we're grafted in. It gives this picture of a tree with other branches being grafted in, okay? And so, you know, so I know that, you know, I can, by implication here, say that I'm his. As a child of God, by putting my faith in Christ, I'm his. And here's what he says to his children. He says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You know, and I'm just going to venture out here and say, you know, some of us here might be going through things where we feel like we're drowning. Like we feel like, you know, I'm just about ready to go under, spiritually speaking, because of the trial that I'm encountering. Maybe it's a sustained trial. Maybe it's years, okay? But Jesus says if you're his, if you come to him and you become his child or daughter in the faith, you know what he says is, I'm not going to let that happen. You will not drown. It may be difficult. It may be, you know, feel like hell on earth, you know. But I will not let you be consumed by this. I will not let you be consumed by this. I find this really encouraging, knowing that he is with me. You know, it's like he's protecting me from being extinguished by the flames of the trial or being drowned by the waves that just keep coming and coming and coming, you know, in our lives. You know, and you know, you may get to the place where you're like, okay, God, you know, it'd be nice to have a little calm and not just the waves keep coming, you know. But, again, we have to know that he's working all things together for our good, for those who are called, right, according to his name. And here we know that he is with me in those waves. He is with me in that fire of the trial, okay? Now, you know, my wife was at a getaway with some other pastors' wives this weekend, and while she was gone, I got a lot of work done. And then, you know, when I'm done, I like to like reward myself, which is probably like 10 minutes after I started, you know, maybe it's just me. Good job, Greg. You moved the laundry over. Woo! Sorry. Okay. But I landed on this Lost in Space. How many people remember the original Lost in Space? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, black and white show back in the day. Okay, it's been reborn on Netflix, okay? And it's actually PG, which is not easy to find when I'm looking at Netflix original series, okay? But I started watching this, and I got drawn in. I got sucked into the first episode, and you can't stop at one. I did stop at two because I fear my wife more than Netflix, okay? Because she knows if I found a new series that we might like, I need to stop, okay? And I did after episode two. Now, what's interesting in this episode, and if for some of you that don't know, and I'm not going to give any spoilers here, but the Robinson family, okay, is on this spaceship. Some things have happened on Earth. They needed to... They were starting this colony, okay, looking to colonize different places in space. So things didn't work out so well, and they end up on this planet, okay? And on the original series, there is this robot, okay, and it's famous for saying what? Danger, Will Robinson, danger, okay? Okay, all right. Well, here's the redone robot, okay, modernized, sitting there with Will Robinson. Okay, now, what happened in this first episode was Will is in, well, there's crisis after crisis happens, okay? he's in a crisis where he, this little boy, separated from the rest of the family, could die. Okay, he's in peril. Literally sitting on the end of a limb. Okay, and through a series of circumstances, this robot and Will save each other. Okay, and they have this bond that is kind of established in this first episode. Okay, and you can see it developing even in episode two, where nobody else in the family, they don't even trust this robot, and second of all, you know, they don't relate to the robot like Will does. But Will and this robot have been through an incredible circumstance together, and this bond forms. They become close, if you will. Okay, and the thing I was thinking about this is that, you know, when on this point of Jesus is with me in the trial, is that Jesus is not only able to, is not only going to still the storm sometimes, but also he's going to use those storms as a pathway to deepen our relationship with him. Okay? He's going to use those storms, those difficulties, to deepen our walk with Jesus. Okay? And if you read or talk to people that have been through great trials and tragedies, if you will, that they are, you know, the people of faith that have gone through those things, they have usually a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus. And you want to be around them because, you know, I want to get me some of that, basically. You feel like, you know, they've got the fruit of the Spirit and you just want to pick it right off, okay? And I think that we need to realize this, that, you know, these trials that we go through, these storms that Jesus brought us in, are also to bring us close to himself. You know, now I pray to God that they don't turn you against the Lord, because they have that possibility too. We can become bitter with God if we're not careful. You know, but we just need to realize this. You know, take that opportunity when you're going through this. You know, deepen your prayer life. You know, talk to people that have been through these challenges who have a faith in Christ. Learn how God worked in their life, and then you seek to see, God, what are you trying to teach me about you right here, right now? How can I grow closer to you through this? And I was just thinking about that, you know, just to how it's often here in the middle of the storms that Jesus becomes more real to us than at any other time, you know? All right? Now, so we've got that, the fact that Jesus is with me, right? He's with us in the storm. We've got that promise. We've got the fact that, you know, Jesus brought us here and that Jesus is praying for us. And the last thing I want to mention here is just that Jesus will see me through. Jesus will see me through. These are truths in this passage that we need to hang on to when we are facing a situation and we need to strengthen our faith. We need to remember this, that Jesus will see me through this. Okay? Jesus will see me through this. Now, in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 14. Okay, well, actually, just before that, Peter called out to the Lord. He said, "If it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now, some commentators say that the Greek is constructed in this case such that it could be, instead of like an if, it could be that it could be the word since. Since it is you, call me to come to you. Okay? And so I'm taking that take on this, okay? I'm taking that take where it says, you know, since it's you, Jesus, bid me to come to me. Tell me to come to you. And so Jesus, in verse 29, says, yes, come. Yes, come. Okay, so Jesus is telling them to come. Not only did he put him in this situation, right, in this trial, this test of faith, but now, in the middle of that, Jesus is saying, come. Yeah, go ahead, come. Okay, and of course, you know, we see what happens from there. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Cannot even imagine, right? Nobody can imagine what that was like, walking on the water with Jesus, okay? And it wasn't like those, you know, commercials that you see with the Sandal Resort where there's like a board down there, okay, and they're walking out on the water, you know, okay? No, this was real, okay? Walking on the water with Jesus. And it's so easy to become very critical of Peter at this point because we usually jump to the fact that, oh, yeah, but he started sinking. He doubted. Okay, well, which one of you have ever walked on water? Okay, none of us, I don't think. All right? And so Jesus bid him to come, and he starts to fall. He sees what's going on around him. He was terrified. He says, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. I think that's probably what happened to any one of us, right? You know, there's this incredible winds and waves going, and we start to walk on the water, but then we see what's going on around us, and we start to get afraid, and he starts to sink. But Jesus, it says, immediately reached out to him, and he grabbed him. You know, he's going to help him see this thing through. He told him to come. He put him in this situation. He's going to help him through it. He's not going to let him drown. He's not going to let him go down. He's just like, I got you. Okay? And so we need to see that whatever this trial is that's going on in our life, this storm, that Jesus will see you through it to its conclusion, whatever it is. Okay? Now, the thing is that you don't know what the conclusion to your trial is, do you? If you're in the middle of it, you don't know what the conclusion is. You don't dictate the outcome. You may pray for a certain outcome. You may pray that something would happen. You may pray for this and that to happen, for this to change, and God may choose to answer that prayer that way, but maybe he has something else different. He has something else. But the thing is, Jesus is who we need to be concerned with in the trial, okay? Not the particular outcome that we want. I mean, we certainly should pray our heart's desire, okay? God wants us to pray our heart's desire, right? As long as it's not something sinful or against God's will, clearly, it's fine. Pray your heart's desire. Pray for healing. Pray for this. Pray for that. Whatever it is. You know, if it's according to God's will, pray it. But whatever the outcome's going to be, Jesus will help you through it. Okay? Jesus doesn't just start us along something. He aims to help us finish it. Okay? He aims to help us finish it. He is going to help and finish what he has started. He brought us to this place. He's knowing full well. He's with us. He's going to see us through this to the end. But you know what we need to do here is to remember, too, that it's not about, like, in some ways, you know, he does tell Peter, says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt me? But I think, too, is this realize, you know, it's really not how much faith we have, but who our faith is in. Okay? I believe that each one of us has a measure of faith. Okay? And I mean, beyond just believing in Jesus as Christ as the Savior, but, you know, each of us has a measure of faith. Okay? So, but it really is a matter of who is my faith in the situation, okay? Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and that was the problem. He started getting his eyes on the circumstances. You know how we can do? We can just start thinking things through to their conclusion. Well, what if this happens? What if this doesn't change? What will I do then? What's going to be this? What's going to be that? And we're like a year or two down the road. You know, and the Lord wants us to realize, okay, it's fine to maybe try to make some plans and to think some things through, but, you know, that can consume your life. That can consume your life, you know, and he wants us to just realize, okay, it's Jesus. Jesus is going to see me through this, okay? That's when you need to go back to that Matthew 6 passage and you realize, you know what, today has enough worries of itself. Today is what I'm focusing on. Today, I'm trusting Jesus today. Amen? That's what we've got to do. That's what the Lord calls us to do. Jesus will see us through this. And this scripture passage that reminds us to keep our eyes on Jesus. not the things that are going on. Although they will vie for our attention, we need to address them, but we cannot be consumed by them. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And so it kind of has this metaphor of running a race as a Christian. We each have our own race to run in following Jesus. It's not like we're competing against each other, okay? And so in this first verse, he's just simply saying, you know what? You need to jettison the stuff in your life that's keeping you from running well. Okay, and only you and God knows what that is. Knows what that is, okay? There are things, there are sins that are dogging you, and he's saying, listen, this is keeping you from running well. This needs to be addressed, not ignored. Because it's keeping you from running. It's like, you know, running a race with, you know, I'm gimping. You can't do it well. Okay? He wants you to run well, but the next verse is really the focus here in light of what's happening in our passage today. He says, we do this. How do we run this race? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. In other words, he saved us. He's going to perfect it. And that perfection means completion, not that you'll be perfect. That's not happening. Okay? Okay? He's saying, I will make you mature. I started you in your faith, and that I will bring it to completion. Okay? He will see it through. Okay? He'll see it through. He'll see you through this trial. He'll see you through your life. You know, the key here is to just keep our eyes fixed and our heart fixed on the Lord Jesus himself. He's faithful. He's faithful, okay? And Peter needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. This was the thing. You know, it's interesting here that we have at the very end of the passage there in Matthew 14, that last verse there that we read, when they climbed back into the boat, you know, and Jesus stopped the wind, it says, then the disciples worshipped him and said, you really are the Son of God. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. You really are the Son of God. And my hope for you this morning is that if you have not recognized Jesus for who he really is, that you would do that. That you would honor him and receive him as Lord and as your Savior, because all of these things, these things that we've been mentioning today, right? The fact that he'll see you through, the fact that he's with you in that storm, that can be true for you, right? If you put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in Christ. These things can be true for you too. These blessings of the Lord's presence in your life, your help to help you through it, the sovereign Lord, the one who prays for you, right? The one who'll bring you through to the end. He's there. But we have to recognize and acknowledge who he is. The passage I was going to preach today in Matthew chapter 16 has Peter saying these words. It's called the Great Confession. It's a turning point in the entire book of Matthew where Peter says, because Jesus says, you know, he says, who do people say that I am? It's kind of like, take a poll, right? Who do people say that I am? And of course, you know, Hollywood says he's one thing, right? Nice guy, great philosopher. Had some great moral teachings. For the most part, that's kind of what the message you get when a lot of movies that you see with Jesus in it. If you watch The Family Guy, you get a whole different set of theology about Jesus. gosh. But, you know, it doesn't, you know, in one sense, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Jesus brings it back to Peter and says, who do you say I am? Do you have it right? Because it isn't what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what the crowd thinks. Question is, who is he really, and do I believe that? Right? Because Jesus makes, or Peter makes this confession in Matthew 16. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what Jesus says to him? Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has shown you this." And let me just tell you this morning, if God is telling you this, that this Jesus we've been talking about today is real, and this Jesus came to die for your sins and save you from your sins and have this relationship we've been talking about, if God is revealing to you to say, say yes. I'm not here to arm twist anybody, but God does this. He did that for me years ago. I knew God was working in my heart, and I came to that conclusion, and it wasn't just something intellectual, although it was a process for me. But I got it. God, show me. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is, and he wants you to know him. And he wants to be with you in life storms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just so thankful that we have a Savior who did not just come and then go and then, you know, and who created the world, like we know that Jesus was involved in creation there, and then just let the world spin and let's see how those humans do. No, that's not how it is at all. We have a Savior who came down to be with us. Jesus came down in the form of a man, lived a perfect life, and then laid down his life for us on the cross as we just celebrated his death and resurrection on Easter recently. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for the incredible blessing of your presence by your Holy Spirit that you give every believer. Thank you for the helper. I don't know where I'd be without him. Without the presence of your Holy Spirit helping me and picking me back up when I fall back down, helping me through those storms, those unexpected things that blow into my life that I'm like, what is going on? You're there. You're there with us. You brought us there. You pray for us in those trials, and you will see us through. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.